And please welcome Sam Bass, who's got 50 years of great luck. Flying.
Luck.
Luck. Right, but accident-free flying. And Sam's got over 35,000 hours himself in the cockpit, and he's our airplane guy. Sam?
Yeah, we're going to spend a little bit of time here with Jim, if he'll let us. And
absolutely.
Come up and stand by the airplane and let you point out some little things.
Yeah, I'll get out the
just
way.
Give us just a general description of the Corsair. We've already covered the inverted gull wing. How much horsepower has this airplane got?
Well, mine's a little different. I've actually boosted mine a little bit higher. I'm running 2,600 horsepower, but typically it should be 2,200.
2,200 was normal.
Okay. I'm abnormal.
Was that all variants of it?
It was all variants, military variants.
Right,
yes.
I understand. How about the armament on the airplane?
There were probably six different ones. Yeah, there were different variations. This particular aircraft, you can see the gun ports, had six 50 caliber machine guns. And 2,400 rounds of ammunition. The other variation was two 20 millimeters on each wing. And I'm not sure the total capacity, but it was 20 millimeter. They were real big.
Well, how about underwing ordnance? Did it carry underwing ordnance?
The Dash 4, which is this variation, my other set of wings, this is my spare set, has stations, and it has eight 5-inch HVARs, which was a normal ordnance for this aircraft. So you had four and four under each wing. Then you had the pylons in the center. The standard configuration was all 50 caliber shells, eight 5-inch HVAR, which is high velocity aircraft rockets. And then under the belly, the right was always a drop tank to carry you to destination, to the target. And then in the other side would be either a 500 pounder or a 1,000 pound Tiny Tim. And that would be a standard configuration for a Corsair for close air support.
How effective was it in close air support?
Extremely. In fact, all the ground guys, they were just, you know, they call in a strike and the Corsairs would come in, and with all the 5-inch rockets and the bombs and the 50 caliber from each aircraft that was coming in, extremely effective, especially when the Koreans would be into a hillside and they were had a cave. The Corsairs would come right down and shoot all those rockets straight into the cave and continue moving forward.
Well, now, during the Second World War, actually, when it was it designed also to be a fighter and close air support?
It was. It had a double role, if you will, because initially when it came out in its World War II, I should say Pacific Theater, it was a fighter, strictly a fighter. And well, as it progressed, it became more of a close air support attack type mode.
What was the kill ratio between the Corsair and the Zeros?
God.
Make up something nobody knows.
It was quite a bit. It actually was very effective.
Yeah,
very
I know it's effective.
Yes.
Right. Now, your particular paint job, of course, you've got Jim Tobel on the back, and you've got your, but what is the 416, and what does that designate?
Well, you know, when we bought the aircraft, you don't know the history. And so Dad went up the Naval Archives and did the history search on the bureau number, 97143. And when he started to research it, he found that it was on the USS Boxer, on the carriers, USS Boxer, the USS Valley Forge, and the USS Riskany. So it was on three different aircraft carriers. And when it goes on a carrier, it's in a different squadron. And so some of them were painted differently. Some had H's on the tail. Some had A's. Some had the yellow accents on it. Some had blue. Some had green. And so my dad started to research the squadrons and found pilots that actually flew our airplane in combat. We got copies of the logbooks showing all the strafes and all the sorties they were going on with this exact airplane. So here we have the pilots that flew it in combat, and we have a true veteran,
That's really neat.
And unfortunately, all the pilots have passed. You know, age has caught up. But there is still one crew chief that actually, he was the crew chief on this exact airplane on the USS Valley Forge. And the skipper was Cook Cleland.
Wow.
You remember that
name,
don't you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Cook
yeah,
Cleland.
Yeah. Well, now you've flown a lot of different warbirds. How would you compare flying this to the different warbirds you've flown?
Wow, that's interesting. My dad was my IP, instructor pilot, and so he wrote my syllabus to get into this airplane to transition. And, you know, being a Marine, it wasn't going to be easy. And so I had to follow exactly what he wrote. I did everything he said, and it became the day I had to fly it. And I got in there, and I'm just looking at this big, huge 14-foot propeller and this horsepower, and I was ready. I go, Dad, I don't know about this. He goes, Son, it's easier to fly in the SNJ. And I'd look down at him and say, it's easy to say that down there. And I had 1,500 hours in the T6. You know, we've been friends a long time. Yeah. You know, I've been flying that.
Yeah.
So first time, get out there, and I'm on the runway, and we operate out of 3,600 feet, very small strip. And I told Dad, I'm not coming back here. I'm going to go to Barnwell. I've got 5,000-foot strip. I said, I'll learn to land it, do whatever I got to do, and then I'll come back. So I'll be back when I feel I'm ready. So off I go, and I had never brought it up to 2,800 RPM before because the practice is a tail up and then back down. So the first time I took it all the way up, I got up to 2,800 RPM, and I'm still pushing throttle, and it's still coming up, and just everything is going crazy with this engine. And before I know it, I looked outside, I'm already in the air. And so I'm in there trying to put the gear up, put the canopy crank, and pull power back, pull this back, do this, trim, 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 every time you do something. And it was a hellacious 25 seconds. And one, by the time I got it, I'm climbing, and all my work stopped. It was like, wow, got through that. So then I brought around and went to Barnwell, set up for the landing, and I came in, and I'm ready for anything. I don't know what's going to happen. This is my first landing, and after that takeoff, I wasn't sure what to expect. So I came down, and the touchdown on the mains, squatted on the tail, and that was it. I said, that's a fluke. Turn around, went through another 20-second hellacious thing, and take off, come back around. Same thing. Wheels landed. Everything was just as easy as my dad said. But, I, of course, I couldn't believe him.
Well, are you the ones that talk about the 51 and the Corsair being a good trainer for a T6?
Yeah, I agree. I do agree with that now.
So if you can fly the T6, you can fly.
But it turns out to be some of the finest flying that I've experienced in aircraft. It just, this aircraft has balance tabs, which makes it like power steering, as opposed to a P-51 that does not. And the faster you fly, it becomes more like a dump truck. It takes two hands. This becomes two fingers. So it's quite different.
Well, one last question before we have some questions and answers here. When you fly, what, 18 times a year as far as air shows and then some other times past that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to you as a person to fly this legacy to these different air shows? Not just for the pleasure, I'm sure. What does it mean to you to let people see this?
Wow. You know, every time my feet go on those rudder pedals, I think about all the pilots that flew it before me. Now, we bought this in parts, and so it only saw military air service. So we're the first civilian pilots to put our feet on the rudder pedals. So I just think about all the pilots preempting me and how humble it is. And I'm simply a caretaker. And so it allows me to show folks how it sounds, how it looks, just everything about the aircraft. To me, that's something I'm sharing from history, and I'm propelling that forward. So that, you know, that humbles me.
Well, and earlier, I'm sure it's the same with this airplane as it is with all the other warbirds. When we had World War II veterans that come up to see these airplanes, they'd say, this is the first time I've seen it since I flew it 30 years ago.
You know, I had so many Korean guys come up, Americans, they'd fought in Korea was what I meant. And they would say, that airplane saved my life. That I'm a ground pounder, and I was down in the trenches, and it didn't look like we were going to see tomorrow. And he says, all we did hear is this whistling sound, and it was just sheer fire and brimstone. And he says, that's what saved my life, this airplane right there. And I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard that. So very heartwarming from the ground pounder's perspective of what kind of work that aircraft did for them.
Thank you. Do you mind if people ask you a few questions? Kyle, anybody got a question? One over here.
They showed a video of the plane, this plane, running with the pilot in it, and the wings are coming down. Surely there's some kind of pre-flight prior to flying that aircraft, make sure the wings are locked somehow?
Yes, it has redundant systems within there. So when you spread the wings, means it's going to spread it all the way down. It has to hit a...
Sound of freedom.
That's right. Oh, those are the guys I'll be flying with. The wings come down, and there are cylinders that push a locking mechanism that locks the wing in place. Now, there's another pin that goes in the back of the cylinder to ensure that pin never backs out in flight. So it's all by wire, and so I lock the cylinders that we know. So there's doors that come open. That's telling you that the lock pin is not engaged. When the doors shut, that means the pins are all the way through, because the physical pin has to push that door shut, so you know the pins are engaged. And then there's two more red tags that stick up, and that's what I have to lock. Those are the pins going in the back of the cylinders to ensure they can never back up, even loss of hydraulics. So that's a good question, and it's ensured that the wings will not come up when you're up there.